and start.
All right, so is that my job to officially call us to order?
Yeah.
Excellent.
I don't see anybody. I just want to make sure that we don't have anybody in the waiting room here.
Nope. Any public participation?
We had one request for an attendee just to listen to the meeting, but I haven't seen that person. I sent them the invite. I haven't seen them show up yet. So you can go ahead and start, Corey, if you want.
We are 4:01, so let's go ahead and get started. Step one is to approve the minutes from the October 28th meeting.
I make a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting.
I second. This is Leslie.
All in favor? Anyone opposed?
Okay.
Great. So those are approved. So we don't have any public participation. Then we can go right on into updates.
Okay. Updates. So I'm going to give my updates first, and then I'll turn it over to the rest of the staff. So we are now, our office is now open at the Grove, Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 9 to 1. Along with the senior center as well. So we have office hours Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9 to 1. And hopefully in January and February, we're going to start slowly bringing some programs back as if COVID and the, what is it, Omicron yes. State of the day, we'll be bringing some things back. The Nature Center for now is the office is going to remain closed, and Libby and I are going to be reevaluating that after the new year, after the holidays, to see to try to get some office hours on for the Nature Center. But because of staffing, we're going to wait until after the holidays and see how that goes.
Is there an option for staff coming back at some point, or
not right now? No, we. I had a meeting a couple weeks ago with our volunteer coordinator, Suleiman Shelton, and folks from the Rogue Valley Transportation District to talk about bicycle education. And since we don't have the bike swap anymore, what we can do to kind of help move that forward, because we feel like we're a partner in that. So we've come up with some ideas. We're still kind of hashing out those ideas. We don't have funding for the bike swap, but we do have some staff time to be able to help contribute to that. So for now, what we're doing is we did a bike donation drive last June. We have donated bikes that we actually set aside time in the Grove for volunteers to come in and fix bikes. And they've been donating those bikes out into the community for now to, you know, veterans programs, to that unique program, and just anybody who needs bikes. They've Teresa McCormick Center in Medford. So we've been working with RVT to get those bikes out through the door donated to groups. What we're looking at is potentially working with a local bike shop such as Gettin' Gear, and doing some kind of consignment where a percentage of the bikes sold go for bicycle education in some form at some time. And that money could be potentially housed in the Parks Foundation until we kind of figure out what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. But we feel like in order to move forward with getting bicycle education out to the community and students, we have to have the school district on as a player. So we're really, we're right now just kind of trying to help one step at a time move things forward.
Oh, Rachel?
Yeah.
Was that the same thing that a woman named Kat was involved with a few years ago?
Yeah, Kat Smith used to do, she was actually, did bicycle education at the schools before before Egon Dubois did it for a while as well. So Egon was the one that was teaching.
Oh, Egon, of course.
Right up until COVID hit.
Got it.
Yeah. So
I was just trying to have continuity in my brain about
And the bike swap isn't happening because of lack of staff. Is that
We actually don't have, we had to cut money out of our budget in the last, in this current biennium, and the bike stop was one of the programs that went. So, but like I said, we're looking at other ways to help provide that bicycle safety education.
What about SOU?
So we are working with SOU. I believe Mike Vergeer, who is with the RVTD, has been working with them and getting bikes from them, and also is working with their bike program to actually also bring on some volunteers to help fix those bikes. So we do have a connection there.
Great.
And what's the holdup with the school district? Is it because you lost your key person, or how can I help, I guess?
With the school district, currently the school district has one school that actually does their own, to my understanding, does their own bike program. And that's with, Hellman Elementary that has the bikes? They have a bike trailer and bikes, and they have actually a staff person who teaches bicycle safety education. So what we actually, the goal that we have is actually getting it training PE teachers within the school district to actually teach the bike program during as a part of the PE curriculum.
Okay.
And having some sort of because what happens is if we train someone, we have to pay them. So it's like if it was part of the PE curriculum and the teachers could do it, we could have like almost like a trailer with bikes that we send around to the school districts or the schools, and those fourth and fifth grade students get trained on safety education.
Okay.
Really for us, it's about the education piece, like kids safely riding their bikes to schools.
Okay, perfect. I'll ask some questions, maybe not before we go on break tomorrow, but
in January. That would be awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, perfect. And anybody you can connect me with would be awesome.
Excellent.
Okay, thank you. The other thing is I had a meeting a few weeks ago with Jordan Rose, who's one of our committee members, and he actually just is transferring his silent disco program over to a new person, because actually Jordan's going to be moving out of the area probably by the middle of next year. But so he introduced me to the new silent disco person. His name's Jared Stebbins. And so we had a meeting a few weeks ago, and we're going to be talking about doing some silent discos in the new year. So Jared is totally on board. He's excited. I've hooked him up with Medford Parks and Recreation and some other groups, and he's already moving forward with some projects and programs. So Risa?
Does it make sense to see if maybe he would fill a Jordan's seat?
I'm thinking that too.
Well, I'm not sure. Let's talk about that piece of it when we get to our recruitment for RDAC.
Great. It just popped into my mind and Corey's at the same time.
Yeah, he would be a good addition, definitely. Okay, so two more things and then I'll turn it over. The Grove this week has been hosting the cold weather shelter. The city of Ashland has a policy that when the cold dips below, I think 32 degrees, we kind of spearhead a went cold weather shelter. And the first step is normally reaching out to churches to see if there's any churches available. And then if churches aren't available, then it diverts to a potential for a city building. So the Grove has been the location of the cold weather shelter. It's actually going to be through Saturday morning, and it is staffed by volunteers. And so I just wanted to let you all know that's happening from 7 p.m. to 7:30 a.m. this entire week. And so far it's been going pretty well. So
how's the floor doing with that? I know it was a problem in Pioneer Hall.
Mm-hmm. The floor has been doing fine. I've been very protective of the floor. So the folks that have been coming in and sleeping have been using mats, and any person who has an animal or a service dog has been we have crates available for them to put their animals in the crates.
Okay, good.
And then I think that's all I have for now. So I will turn it over to Lonnie. You want to go ahead and go next? Oh, Risa.
Question. Sorry, is there anything you could update us about and maybe Jim and Leslie could chime in, but just where Parks is in its process with the presentation or the proactive approach mm-hmm. around a potential levy and district upgrade for Parks?
Mm-hmm. Sure, I can start, and then Jim, if you want to fill in the blanks. APR, the commission is actually planning right now to hold a strategic planning session in January, in early January. I think it's going to be January 6th, but we'll have more details soon. It's going to be an in-person meeting. It's a planning meeting for the Parks Commission. And it's going to be at the Grove, I believe, on January 6th. And at that time, that meeting's going to be, they're going to be talking about all of the options. They're going to kind of put all the options on the table and discuss those options and try to probably come to some consensus among the Parks Commissioners and staff and how they want to move forward. Jim, am I forgetting anything?
Other than any lobbying to the council, because at some point, to make it all easier, whatever option we decide on will probably have to go through the council mm-hmm. In order to get it on a ballot easier than having to go out and get signatures. So other than a little of that, we're all hoping for some magical wand that somebody has. And other than that, in 2023, when our biennium budget's up, it's just a large dark gray area there, and we don't really have, we're not sure what the council has in store for us. So we're trying to be proactive. That's mm-hmm. what these meetings are going to be about. And so if you have any information or if you have any ideas, just mm-hmm. Email them to Rachel mm-hmm. or Michael.
And what I will do on my end is I will make sure that I put in my schedule that once that agenda gets posted and is out, we'll send it out to all of our subcommittees just so y'all are aware of what's happening and what the next steps might be. Risa, you had a question?
No, that you just answered it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And just, I would just add, if there is a way that our committee could help to support in some way that you, if you could suggest to us, you know, if it's physically showing up or writing, reach out to council or whatever.
Okay. We'll definitely keep you in the loop on that.
Thanks.
Lonnie, you want to go ahead?
Okay, sure. Nice to see everyone and happy holidays. We are in full steam with the ice rink over at Lithia Park. Things have been going pretty well. Numbers so far for the month of November is what we have results on. So this would be from November 20th through the end of November, the 30th, right? We've had about our operating schedule in November was Thursday through Sunday, 4 to 9 p.m. in the afternoons. And then we'd be running lesson programs and a few other programs outside of those hours for hockey and other skating interests. And we've had approximately over 1,300 admissions in that small time frame. And we've got about 50 kids that have signed up for either group lessons, private skating lessons, and are involved in the hockey programs there. We expect December to be way more. With the holiday break, we have way more hours of operation, much more demand. And then in January and February, we'll concentrate more on our skating and hockey programs. We'll have a 3-on-3 hockey tournament rolling through there. And of course, a lot of recreational skating options for everybody through President's Day. So we're moving through and we've got our feet underneath us. One special event we have coming up this Saturday is the First Frost event. And it's a community skating event. And This event has morphed over the years, and we will be having a lot of community partners involved to help make this event enjoyable. We'll have some city band brass performers playing for the first hour or so, doing some holiday themes. And that will be followed by the Southern Oregon Figure Skating Club doing, I think, a total of 5 figure skating performances for everyone there. And following that, the Ashland High School band members, small groups of their band, will be coming in to perform their numbers for the holiday season. And another nice thing that we've been able to organize at the ice rink is having the Lions Club come in, not only for this event to do hot drinks and snacks, which we haven't been able to provide due to all the restrictions and staffing shortages that we're facing. They will be doing that, and they are actually going to be doing that, I believe, every Saturday through the rest of the season. So they'll be there to kind of make things a little bit nicer for everybody and have hot chocolate or coffee available, which is always very popular at the rink. So beyond that, we have our winter spring play guide is getting close to being finished. So we'll be advertising some programs. Hopefully, as Rachel had mentioned, and starting in January, we'll be able to reintroduce some programs back into the Grove. Some more information coming on that hopefully soon. And I'll pass it over to Libby, and she may want to fill in more on this. We're going to be working on a small project, creating a video, interviewing some of our partners in the parks and people that enjoy our parks and recreation facilities, to create some very short videos where people can express the values and their stories of connection with Parks and Recreation Services and how it's benefited their lives. So we're looking forward to accomplishing that. And I'll turn it over to Libby. And Libby, if you want to add on to any of that, please do.
Can I add a question before you do that?
Oh, sure.
Wondering who, you say that some of the classes are going to start up again. Who's deciding what classes start, and how does that all being worked out?
Rachel and I have discussed that, and we are going to be reaching out to the instructors. It will really be all of the instructors, regular instructors that have worked with us, and kind of figuring out what days, what times. So yeah, the instructors will be hearing from us shortly to kind of organize that once we get a little bit clearer picture going into January.
Okay.
Can I mention one more thing before, I just wanted to say that we are also at the first process weekend doing tabling. We're having a recreation division table with a display, and we're going to have some of our staff on board at the ice rink from 4:30 to 6:30, kind of help and talk to people and hand out candy canes and just be there to for the 4:30 to 6:30 time frame is really when probably a lot of the families are going to be there. So we're going to be really focusing our energies on talking to people, and Patrick from the golf course is going to be there. And if the weather's decent, we're going to have the petting stuff out so he can do some little petting activities with the kids. So it should be fun. So
great. Yeah, thank you.
I heard petting. And I'm really
putting.
Glad.
Putting. I did too, Risa.
I'm sorry. No,
I was.
I should
able
have said
to...
golfing activities.
Is it me now?
Yeah, go ahead, Lynn.
I think Lonnie did a great job of explaining the storytelling campaign. It's a pilot project right now. We're just starting with one video, but we're hoping that we can make a series of short videos that highlight people's independent personal stories and values that they get from Parks and Recreation. So we'll tell you how it goes, and then we'll probably hit you up for a short video at some point. So just running through the things that we're working on at the center, we actually selected an AmeriCorps service member from a small pool of applicants to have a 6-month AmeriCorps intern here at North Mountain Park starting in February. And now it's just a question of finding some relatively cheap housing for that person. So if you know of anything, let me know. Let's see. And just as a caveat, I started out as an AmeriCorps here at North Mountain Park back in 2008. I looked it up and recently it was 2008 that we worked together on the storm drain thing. When I was made to guess, I was like 2015. Nope. I was an intern here as an AmeriCorps at the beginning of end of 2008 and started 2009.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. I have no sense of the passage of time. That person will have my old desk. So one of the other things we've been working a lot on is the monitoring protocol for the BlackBerry control research that we're doing here at North Mountain Park. And we got approval from the commission to add on 2 more treatment test plots out at Riverwalk Park. And the Freshwater Trust is going to help us by treating those with a small amount of herbicide in order to do a real scientific comparison of what it takes to control BlackBerry in different situations. And we have a monitoring protocol that we would love to foist onto a certain intern because they can do some ecological monitoring out there, assessing percent cover and height and number of rooting points within quadrats placed along a transect in all of these different test plots. So that's been a big success in terms of laying all those out, getting the monitoring set up, and then doing baseline monitoring for those test plots. So big congratulations to Jen on that. Jen is meeting monthly now with her volunteer work parties, and that will continue through the winter. And then in the spring, we'll go back to having 2 work parties a week. And Jen is also trying to make time to work on the natural area management plan, which is a little bit like me trying to get time to work on the sediment pond permitting. And both of those big projects seem to get pushed for little fires, but they both have to happen. Let's see.
What is the sediment pond?
The sediment pond is it's a sediment trap, actually. It's a water control structure on the upstream of Beach Creek, which is one of the tributaries that comes down through the park. And that sediment trap needs to be cleaned out annually because it collects about as much sediment as it can hold every rainy season. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, you have to go through a whole permitting process with the Army Corps of Engineers and the DEQ. And okay. So it's a big rigmarole, which I haven't had a chance to start on yet. I put in my preliminary permit application, got approved in the preliminary stages, and then it's been holding. So I need to get back to that. We had fun putting together over 220 kits all about bird watching that got distributed to families throughout our valley in partnership with Jackson County Library Services and Rogue Valley Audubon Society and the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy and the Northwest Nature Shop. We all worked together on those. And it ties in nicely with our citizen science project Feeder Watch, which is going on quite successfully every 2 weeks. So if you want to come out here, you can count birds with our citizen science project. Let's see. We're, like Lonnie said, pushing out the guide and a whole bunch of programs for winter, spring. And we've set a date for a celebration for the Nature Play area that will take place in May. And the last piece of news is that I had a great meeting with the Conservation Commission just yesterday. So there are a lot of possibilities for partnership there. And we've had some interest in helping us with our solar panels and maybe partnering to reach the community in new ways. And Risa could say more about that if she wants to, but I think that's my complete update.
Libby gave a great presentation and the Conservation and Climate Outreach Commissioners were very impressed and just great to be able to remake our connection because we've worked together over the years, and thank you.
And that's it for me.
Okay. So then I guess we're moving on to our working group.
Corey, I think Leslie has her hand.
Okay. I can't see Leslie. All right.
Okay.
Hey, Leslie?
Yeah, hold on. I was just trying to find my mute button or my unmute button, as the case may be. I think this is a question for Libby and or Rachel regarding the weather is getting really cold and rainy. And I know that Little Gnomes has moved to operating in Lithia Park. And I think they don't have any shelter there. And I was wondering if anything has changed. The last I heard it was, maybe Little Gnomes can have a day or two in North Mountain Park where they have access to that shelter. I know they had a rough day last week and earlier this week as well with some of the weather. And I was wondering if that was still sort of under discussion or still a possibility during this season for them to use the North Mountain Park.
I sent an email. Well, I met with Shannon Anushka about a month ago, and then I sent him an email. Unfortunately, North Mountain Park is not going to work. But it is working out really well for them to be in Lithia. And I mean, I don't know if they would consider using like the Ender shelter or something in Lithia Park as a shelter location for the students. But yeah, it's just not the right fit for North Mountain Park.
Well, I personally don't agree with that, but I guess we can talk about that later. I don't think Ender shelter is a safe place for small children. There's lots of transients and folks around there that I don't think that Little Gnomes hangs out in that area of the park, but that's disappointing.
I'm happy to talk with you about that offline if you want to.
Let me know, Rachel, if you want me to jump in here, if we can take the conversation offline.
Okay.
Or now, whatever you'd like.
We'll just take it offline.
Okay, so then on to our working group. And we met and discussed a whole bunch of different things. This was the qualitative working group looking at contacting people in person or over the phone individually or as groups to get feedback. And we had identified a number of different groups to approach and ways to approach the groups. And if you didn't get a chance to read the notes that Libby wrote up, did those go to everybody?
They didn't.
Those are some really good notes.
Yeah, we can.
I'm happy to paste that into the chat. Okay. Basically, it's a Google document that includes a list of some of the goals for that working group, some of the outreach processes that were discussed in the meeting, a script of the ways that we can talk, kind of the ways that we can cold call an organization or a group that maybe we haven't talked to in the past and what we're really asking for in terms of engagement with them. And then the list of all the organizations who we brainstormed we might want to reach out to.
And so they're kind of different groups we were looking at. We're looking at people who are currently participating. How can we serve you better? Oops, okay, I disappeared there. So how can we serve you better?
I shared my screen here.
There we go. Okay, so number one there. So the currently participating groups, people who are already involved, how can we serve you better? One of the interesting things that came up for me was Libby was talking about the program that used to exist at North Mountain Park for a nature program there. And I thought everybody should probably know about that. I don't know if everybody else knew about that and it was just me. But Libby, can you talk about that program that has been discontinued?
You mean the school program, field trips?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to get input from the teachers who used to utilize the school program field trips, which was a program that served about 2,000 kindergarten through fifth grade students each year. But it requires quite a few staff people to run it. So with minimal staff, it's impossible to run something at that scale, but it was very popular. We signed up 42 classes in the spring and 42 classes again in the fall and maintained a waiting list of teachers who were knocking down our door. So I'd love to get their input.
Yeah. And so part of that was, you know, is there a way to make an argument for bringing staff back on board for that program to continue again? How long has that been? Was that around?
It was around in one form or another since the park's inception. So year 2000 was the very first school programs that we offered. The lessons changed over time. The format changed a little bit over time, but those spring and fall school programs with the rotating subject sequence that covers geology, water plants, animals, Native American history, and pioneer history of the Rogue Valley has been around since around the park's inception, 2020.
So that was something we identified as a group that definitely was served very well in the past, and it would be really a great thing to be able to get them back and to get some more feedback on that. We also had non-participating or underrepresented groups. BASE was one of the groups that came up to find out, you know, what they're doing, and is there a way that we can support what other groups are doing or to serve some of those other groups. And then the third group that we were trying to identify was groups who are might want to partner with parks, and how to approach those groups, possibly with the a la carte option in mind. So if there are other facilities that are offering complementary types of programs that we might want to help support, can we make contact with those people, find out what they're doing, and see if they'd want to be involved either by offering classes directly through Parks and Rec on Parks and Rec facilities or through their own facility, with the idea that if the a la carte option becomes possible, then we would have some groups that we could reach out to. And if there are groups that are interested in a la carte, we want to find that out before we go through the trouble of finding out how to do the a la carte thing. So it seemed like it made sense to contact some of those groups and see if they'd be interested before putting a bunch of effort into setting up an a la carte program if nobody wanted to take up that option.
Can you remind me again what that means?
The a la carte option. So I'm a good example of that. I do an a la carte thing for Medford Parks and Rec. I teach at the Evergreen Ballroom, but my classes are listed in the Medford Parks and Rec guide. And then they basically take a fee for signing people up for my classes. And that, so instead of teaching at the Medford Parks and Rec facilities, I have teach in my own facility, but they list me in their program, in their guide, and they sign people up for my classes.
Okay, thanks.
So that allows you to expand the number of facilities that you have available. You know, especially in Medford, they've only got the one building, and we're kind of down to that too. But it allows you to offer courses in other facilities.
I see.
Yeah. So expand a little bit. And then also the idea of becoming a hub for all the kinds of events that are going on. So that's where that group is. And we were coming up with a script there of how to reach out to people, mostly with the idea of listening and finding out what they are interested in and what they're doing. And then giving a little bit of an idea of, you know, we're thinking about maybe doing this kind of a thing. Would you be interested in that? So that's kind of where we're going. And there's a fabulous list there. If you get a chance to take a look at that and see if you know anybody from these organizations that you'd be willing to contact and just touch base with, that would be great. So I think that was it. And then we were going to try to schedule a meeting for sometime in January for anybody who wanted to participate in that meeting.
I guess what I'd be looking for from this group is obviously this list isn't complete. And so we'd love if you have any ideas on other groups that we could contact. I was going to put my name on this one here, or Lonnie and I can do. I'll put your name on this one. I can't remember. Is it still Hughes?
Yes. Hughes is Hughes. Mm-hmm. LeCompte. I'll fix it.
Okay.
So if you get a chance, if you can take a look at that link, either now while we're talking or sometime later, and think if you can think of any other groups. Part of the goal was to not overlap with programs that are already in place through Parks and Rec. You know, we don't want to have three Zumba instructors, that kind of thing. But if you can think of any other groups that we should be contacting, or if you have a contact there, we aren't contacting people yet. I think at our next meeting, we're going to get together and kind of decide how we're going to approach these groups.
Oh, look, I see Rebecca filling your name in on a couple. That's awesome.
Oh, Rebecca. That's great.
Corey,
yeah.
If I could just add, I was at an open house for the Phoenix bee pollinator folks, and I talked to Christina and this other woman who I can't remember her name. And I just mentioned this to them and they were really excited about it and they're all in.
Great.
So I don't know if they got their name on this list. I may have brought up their name, but just to confirm.
They are not on the list. So we want to add them in there.
Yes. I'm not very good at that. So I am just being verbal.
Great.
Risa, yeah, if you send me their info, we can add them to the list for you.
Okay, I will.
Okay. All right, so just some examples there. We've got the Ballet Folklorica, some homeschool groups, SOU's Rec Center. The idea partly to become a hub of information for whatever is going on in Ashland, especially, but also in the general area.
Mm-hmm.
Did I cover everything?
Yeah, let me just make sure everybody could see the other page really quick. So feel free to add if you, that one I was, had a question on was the English country dancing. Is that the folk dancers?
I think, is that the group? I think that's the group that's at the dance space.
Oh, they're at the dance space. Okay.
I believe so. There used to be an English country group there.
Okay. Okay.
I don't think that's not the contra dancers.
That's not the contra. Okay. Right. And it's not the folk dancers either, right? Because there was the folk dancers, the contra dancers, and then this is English country.
English country dancers used to be at the dance space.
Okay.
I don't know if they're still there or not.
Okay. I might add the folk dancers to this list. And maybe even contra dance.
And contra dance is already a partner.
Oh.
That's Gordon.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Although they're on hold until we have a facility again.
Yeah. Okay. Does anybody else have any comments or questions about this document we've been working on before we try to, Okay.
So do we have, are there any changes in who is interested in being part of this working group?
So we already have, the working group. It's Corey, you, and Risa and Val. Right. So we just need to get back. What I probably want to do is send this. I don't think Risa may have not have seen this yet. And Val probably hasn't either. Okay. So, Libby, would you send this out to Val and Risa to look at? And then we'll get together a meeting in January. Does that sound good in early January?
That's good. So should we just decide off separately when we're going to
meet? Yeah, I'll just, Libby, do you want to send an email out with a couple dates and times that might work for you for early January? Is Libby there?
Here.
Okay, cool.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, cool.
All right. So we'll take care of that later, but does anybody else from this group want to participate in that?
I'll try to be able to at least make some of the contacts. Sometimes your meetings are during my workday, so I can't attend them, but I'd love to be part of it. So Libby, if you don't mind emailing me, I know I have the Google Doc here, but if you can just send it to me as well.
Sure.
Thank you.
What are good times during the day for you, Rebecca?
After 4, mm-hmm. It's like during the day is
yeah.
Well, yeah. It, you know, it depends. So I can be flexible as well. I can try to be flexible.
Great. Okay.
Thanks, Rebecca.
All right. So we'll make plans for that, adding Rebecca in. Okay. So there's nothing else on that. Shall we move on to recruitment?
All right. So if you want me to kick this off, Corey.
So we're losing one community partner and then one participant has an empty spot for. I'm assuming we want to find another participant and another community partner if we can.
That's correct. So we have two vacancies, or we will have two vacancies. So just to bring everybody up to speed on what happens in the city process of commissions and committees. There is an application that goes to this that is on the website, and we can link to that from our website. So I could actually update the RDAC page to to have, we could do a press release with the application included. So basically the applications themselves go to the city recorder, and then anything for Parks and Recreation comes back to our department. And usually the committee chair for RDAC would review those applications with staff, and then would make a recommendation to the chair of the Parks Commission, or we would review them here as a group, make a recommendation to the chair of the Parks Commission, and the chair of the Parks Commission would approve it. So that's kind of how the process itself works. As far as where we want to post it, we can do a press release on it, talk about, you know, what our goals are in this committee. We can post it on our website. We can do Facebook. We have multiple ways of getting the word out. I think what the most important thing is what are we looking for? Obviously, we need a program participant and a community partner on the committee. And so I think what we'd be looking for is this committee to kind of word of mouth to people that you may know that that would be interested in being on this committee as a community partner or a program participant.
Arisa?
Well, it would be great if we could get, you know, some more underrepresented groups in our community somehow. Mm-hmm. Just since we have an opening, that'd be great.
Okay. So I'm wondering about program participants. It's who's still around now that we have a lot of the programs are shut down? Mm-hmm. Is it possible to sort of brainstorm who might be around? I know Gordon Enns is still around, who did the contra dancing, but obviously his program isn't happening right now. Are there any other?
I was going to mention there could be potential. We do still have outdoor programs going. So pickleball, we have, of course, ice skating pool participants. Those are a couple of options that we could get.
Yeah, Leslie?
Just to chime in, please remember that at the beginning of this RDAC meeting, Rachel specified that trails are facilities. People that use parks and mm-hmm. go hiking or run in parks are participants. It's not just organized activities that you sign up for and take classes. So it really could be any, I believe personally, that it could be any member of the public that loves the parks and spends a lot of time in them. And
right. Because we've got two different categories. We've got a community partner, and then we've got participants. And participants, we might know some people, but as far as community partners who are still around.
I have some suggestions for that too. George Dorman from the Ashland Soccer Club represents several hundred kids that are playing in fields, and he's very knowledgeable about park use, and we'd be lucky, I think, to have him. He's really, I think, would be a great member. Maybe someone from Ashland Devo, another someone from the board of directors from Ashland Devo. Ashland Parks permits them to use various park spaces and trails for their bike training. Mm-hmm. So there's two. I think I had a couple others, but I think about it. But I think either of those would be great because they are getting a ton of kids out into the parks pretty regularly.
Perfect. Do you think is that somebody that you would be comfortable contacting, or?
Oh yeah, sure, absolutely. I've spoken to them both already, and they said they have interest.
Okay.
What I could do is, as we move forward with this, I could put together an email with the application too, and talk about the committee a little bit, and then forward it out to this group, and you all could forward it out to your contacts as well. I think that's a good idea. I think word of mouth is important. So
great.
Okay. Sorry, Corey, I misunderstood you. I thought you were talking about the participant category, but you were actually talking about the other categories.
So yeah, I was trying to think of the community partners because, you know, I know some of the instructors, but they haven't been doing anything for 2 years. So
got it. Sorry, I didn't quite understand.
Yeah. Yeah, and then obviously for participants, you know, I know lots of participants, and so those are a little bit easier to come by. So that's good.
AWTA also might be an interesting one. So anyone from the board, those guys are out all the time maintaining trails and working on trails. So that would be a good suggestion also, I think.
Yeah, and I think that we don't really have the trails, you know, except we've got trail lovers here, but we don't have the specifically the trails represented on this committee very well. Mm-hmm. As far as that goes.
Volunteers who support our volunteer program and who are involved in our volunteer program potential targets.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Okay.
I have several really engaged volunteers who, you know, have always asked me what they could do to help and how they could be more involved. So I can put it out to them.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Okay, so Rachel's going to put together something that we can forward on to our friends and family who we want to get involved in. Yeah.
I think I was just looking when Leslie, when you were talking about, you know, people like George Dorman with Ashland Soccer Club and Devo, I honestly think depending on who it is and it could be, they could be either a program participant or a community partner, depending on who it is and what their relationship is to with that group. They could just be a participant in Devo. And if they're a participant in Devo, maybe they are just a program participant. If they're a board member of Devo, maybe it's more of a community partner relationship. So I think we can evaluate that as we move forward too, as the applications start coming in.
That makes total sense.
Mm-hmm. Great ideas. Great. Okay.
Yeah.
So that puts us down. Anything else that people want to add in as far as recruitment?
Corey, I'll send a timeline to you on getting everything put together and out, just so you're aware of when we're going to start posting everything. And
okay. All right, then open for whatever else people want to talk about. Any other issues come up?
Anything happening with Daniel Meyer?
Not right now.
Okay. Leslie, did you have a question?
If folks were interested, I was going to offer to give a short update on the progress of our Trails Master Plan Review Committee. It seems related to recreation. Okay, I'm getting nods. So we reconvened the Trails Master Plan Subcommittee to exclusively look at several modifications or additions to the trail network, mostly focusing on mountain bike use, but also kind of considering safety issues with pedestrians and mountain bikes. And so we've met about three or four times, and the last meeting was actually in person at the Bandshell, and Commissioner Launt put a lot of work, and I assisted a bit to sort of move this group forward, which was turning a bit adversarial. We have some folks on the group that are really, really knowledgeable and have been working on trails for 20, maybe more than 20 years, folks like Dave Chapman and Jeff McFarlane, if you know them, and Torsten Hayek from AWTA, who also has spent many, many years. So anyway, we had a really great in-person meeting, and we sort of did a lot of group bonding, came up with some common values of how we wanted this process to go. And then everyone in the group, there's some more sort of sharing about how we feel about different trails and then feasibility. And then finally, we all kind of went off and voted for the top three projects, sort of conceptual projects, not necessarily exactly what RVMBA proposed in their plan, but more like Lower Wonder bailout trail. Like, as you know, if you've gone up Wonder, you kind of can only go up and up and up and up and up, or go to the road and walk down the road. Things like Siskiyou Mountain Park and Imperatrice property, which is down below Grizzly Peak. Anyway, we ended up selecting three projects that we're going to split into working groups and really kind of dig deep into the feasibility and how we might move forward for each one of these three projects. And so the three that were chosen was the Imperatrice property, which is, again, on the other side of the valley, kind of below Grizzly Peak. Alice in Wonderland. If you've walked on the Alice in Wonderland trail, when you're walking downhill on the ridge and you get to city property, it kind of peters out into a horrible rutted drainage that is, I think, bikes only, and no one really rides it, and it's kind of a disaster. So that one is looking to do a restoration project and a reroute potential. And then the third one that we're going to try to be moving forward with is the Wonder, Lower Wonder bailout. So looking at potential ways to have, there are folks that mountain bike up Wonder and then they ride down the road. They're looking for a potential downhill route for mountain bikers to go that wouldn't impede with pedestrians and has a little more value or fun to the biker community than going down a gravel road. So I can answer questions if you have any, but that's kind of where we're at. We need to form those working groups and figure out who is going to be on them. And Rick and I are going to actually make that choice as opposed to letting it be a free for all. We're going to make sure there's diversity on each one. And we'll see where that goes. Jim, I saw you had a question.
Yeah. You mentioned Lower Wonder, Imperatrice. What was the first one?
Alice in Wonderland, it heads down along this beautiful ridge from the White Rabbit parking lot. And it's absolutely gorgeous. And at a certain point, if you keep going down Alice, you can split off to, I think it's Bandersnatch, which crosses. And if you keep going down BTI, which is a crazy mountain bike trail, goes off to the left. And then if you keep going on Alice in Wonderland, it kind of goes into private property and it turns into this gully. And you may not have ever seen it because you may never go that way because it's so bad. And then it hits the 2060 road. It hits the Mount Ashley. And so it's just a bad eroded spot that no one really hikes or bikes. And we're hoping to kind of restore that area if we can and have some another option over there.
Thanks.
Yeah, Rita?
I just had a question about the you called it the Lower Wonder Trail. So is the focus on bikes? So would it just be for an expansion for the bikes, but the hikers would need to stay on the original Wonder?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think it's been fully, I think we're exploring options. At the moment, of course, Lower Wonder is uphill and downhill for hikers and only one way for
right. bikes. Thank goodness.
Yeah. You don't want bikers going down that thing. But yeah, I can see how as a hiker, I never really walk up Wonder and then down it. I'm not really a out and back kind of person when I'm hiking. So yes, I end up usually walking down the road as well. So, I mean, that's duly noted. We don't want downhill bikes and walkers in the same spot, but I don't really know how many options there are available. I know Dave Chapman has some tricks up his sleeve or some ideas about what we can do. We're very limited by these potential wastewater treatment plant that, not just water treatment plant that they're looking to relocate from like right next to Reeder Reservoir to that big disgusting dirt pit right at towards the beginning of Wonder. And so the city does not want us to build a trail anywhere near in that area. So there's going to be some creative thinking, but I think you're right. It would be nice if there was a hiker option also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a Wonder lover. And I do not like 2060. I don't want to go up it. I don't want to go down it. So I actually am happy to go up Wonder, turn around, because I'm all about loops. But when it comes to the Wonder Trail, I'll just spend as much time there as possible.
So with those three, those are the three that you all decided on at your meeting on Tuesday. Was that right?
We actually, every single one of us went out like independently voted, and we were asked individually to consider. Rick and I had a list of criteria, of which one of was all the different types of feasibility, logistical feasibility, political feasibility. And then there was things like value to community, safety, and all the sort of cost benefit of doing them. So we asked everyone to, given all those options, which do you think is, where do you think we can find success? Mm-hmm. And then, so we And then we tallied up, everyone voted for three options and we tallied them up. Imperatrice and Alice in Wonderland were clear, way, way high up winners, were like a lot of common ground amongst the group that they wanted to work on those and felt they were doable. And then Lower Wonder was in a very, very close tie with my favorite, which is basically Siskiyou Mountain Park, South Ashland Trails area, but that did by one vote lost. It doesn't mean that those things are gone. It just means that folks feel like they may be more challenging and we want some success and we want the group to work well together and like have some progress before we look at those other trails that were perceived by the group as being more challenging.
Right. And then each of those working groups eventually we'll bring it back to the bigger committee, and then those will have to potentially could have separate processes depending on like who owns what, and like we know Imperatrice is owned by the city, so that'll be a city process, but the other two, you know, Forest Service, BLM will probably have to be involved, correct?
The Lower Wonder, I think, is all on, I think it's all within city boundaries. They're not Forest Service land or BLM. So, and that was, I should mention, the RVMBA trails plan focused exclusively on the city and APRC lands in order to make it more doable or accomplishable. So it's really the very lower part of Alice, which is on city property, and the lower part of Lower Wonder, which is still on city property.
Okay.
I'm actually curious about maps. As someone who likes to hike all over the place, we try to go somewhere new every weekend if we can. And the maps, most of the maps that I found very useful don't seem to be from Parks and Rec. You know, there's a couple of them that sort of, you know, but I didn't know if there's a really good thorough map out there that could, am I missing the map? There's so many fabulous trails and it seems like I hunt all over the web for the new trail or whatever.
I can grab you a copy of the map that I like. Hold on one second.
I think the Chamber of Commerce one is pretty darn good. Okay. There are a lot of informal trails that are not on those maps that are kind of used by community members. But they're great for the official trails that are on there.
That's what I was going to say is we just got some more of those maps in our office, Corey, and we can figure out how to get you one.
So is it, well, I've seen the Chamber of Commerce one. It just didn't have everything on it. I didn't know if anybody had ever done. Actually, I'm thinking sort of drooling over the one that they have for Forest Park in Jacksonville.
I have seen that one. Yeah.
They've got some awesome maps. And not only do they have maps, but they've got routes. So you can get a little card or you can, you know, look, but it, so it's digital. So you can, you know, track where you are if you get lost, which you really need in Forest Park because it goes all over the place. But they have a digital map and then they have little routes worked out. So if you want to go for a 2-mile loop or a 3-mile loop, they've got those sort of separated out. Seems like they're a bunch of entrepreneurs who have done that sort of thing for Ashland, but I didn't really see a city thing. And I just didn't know if I was missing that or if that was just something that had never been put together.
Closest thing would be Strava.
Yeah.
if you use it. But
what have you got there, Libby?
I like this one.
Ashland Map Guide. Okay, I haven't seen that one.
Travel Ashland. That's the Chamber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the Chamber one.
Okay, and that's a newer one. I don't have that one.
Yeah. It may be or may be older. You never know. This is a different draft, obviously. And I really like it because it shows Lithia Park and it shows Ashland Streets.
Mm-hmm.
And then you flip it over and you can see all the watershed trails leading all the way up to the top of Mount A and past Four Corners and everything. So,
okay, that's got a lot more than the one that I saw. So that's out there. Somebody, the Chamber of Commerce has done that.
That's the one we have here. Actually, I think we have a newer version of that one. Just recently got update. And Libby, I can make sure you get some at the Nature Center too.
Great.
Cool. So it's possible to go to the chamber office possibly and walk in that door and grab one and run.
Yep, you can do that too.
Yeah, Jim?
Even though that's the chamber's map, it used all the information that was gathered through the Trails Master Plan Subcommittee, which was an extensive review of all the trails. And so we weren't allowed to put private land trails on it just because we just didn't want to go there.
Right.
And the other part that we were going to touch on was motorized vehicles, which, you know, we didn't want to go there either because whether so many of them go into the Forest Service and but it does have the Forest Service land and the city property, but not the private ownership trails. But it's a pretty extensive map and might be too much information at first, but once you sit back and get a hot cup of tea and review it, you'll find all kinds of information on that. Yeah.
That's great. I was wondering if there, because I naturally went to Ashland Parks and Rec, I didn't think go to the Chamber of Commerce. I'm wondering if that, because Ashland Parks and Rec also has some maps on there, I believe. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if there was some, it might be helpful to connect those up somehow, if that was a possible thing to do.
Good idea.
I think, yeah, we're also a sponsor of that map. So I think we've had a lot of input into that map. So every time it gets updated, our staff is able to make and put input and updates on it. So
that's a great point, Corey. I've gone on to APRC to look for maps of the maps of Lithia Park are really goofy. They're like little cartoon maps that are totally like hard to, they're very difficult to understand.
Yeah. We got lost on the Mike Utoff trail from whatever map we had.
Oh,
this is wandering all over the place.
Web. That's bad over there.
Yeah. Anyway, if there was a way to link that up to Ashland Park's website somehow, I think that would be a useful thing. And ultimately, if there was a way to make it digital, especially for those folks who are out there with GPS, you know, if you get sort of wandered around, that's a really cool thing to be able to do.
If I can find the
link. Excuse me, if you get caught in the Lewis loop, you just keep going round and round.
You go round and round. Yeah, we did that. Yeah.
I feel like the map is digital, and I think I was just looking at it the other day, but I'm going to find it, and I'm going to forward it out to everybody because I'm pretty sure it's digital. But I'll find it and I'll forward it out to the group.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
It could be a great thing to mention in the play guide just as a
cool. Mm-hmm. Way to go, Libby. So
it's got all of the partners listed. Of course, we're one of them. And then it has a QR code on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And it might be good to have an old fashioned, not QR code, but for old fashioned people, you know, what's it called? Like an address.
Mm-hmm. This is old fashioned.
Right. Okay.
Old
fashioned.
Mm-hmm. And then you can type in the URL, or you could scan this, which is Star Trek level technology right now.
Well, do we want to, are there other things we want to discuss, or do we want to set a date for next time? And
oh, yeah,
good idea. We're looking at February.
Yep, February.
Thursday, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it would have to be...
It just occurs to me before we pick that date, if it's useful at all, kind of like Leslie, Commissioner Eldridge was talking about the trails, there is a little bit of an update from the B-City USA subcommittee,
which
is another subcommittee that we're all crossing over and in different ones. Mm-hmm. But just so you know, there's some really good partnership happening between the B-City USA subcommittee and the Wildfire Safety Commission. And so the Wildfire Safety Commission is putting in all these recommendations for fire-wise landscaping, and they want to collaborate with the B-City USA group to prove that fire-wise landscaping can also be wildlife-friendly and can provide habitat values as well. So we're going to tie those two things together for the pollinator tour in June. Mm-hmm. And I also spent quite a bit of time today with a representative from the Wildfire Safety Commission, and we were talking about a plant database that they're developing, which is going to be really great. Similar to the plant database we have at North Mountain Park, where every plant, we're recording all of this information about it, every species, and some species are water-wise, and some species are deer-resistant, and some species are pollinator nectar plants, and some are pollinator host plants, and they all have a wildfire risk assessment associated with them as well.
So, Libby, you might Before Julie Smitherman left, who was the water analyst for the city of Ashland, on the city website, she has
a lot of information.
Yeah, and I just wonder if you want to cross that or like pull stuff from hers.
I think it's already happening.
Oh, good.
Okay. I think the wildfire, they've been in touch with Julie Smitherman, and I think that they're drawing their initial list of plants that they're going to be analyzing from a combination of FireWise brochures, pollinator brochures, and that resource as well.
Great, because that would save you a lot of time.
Yeah.
Good.
I'll mention it to them in case that's not yet in the scope, but I kind of think it is because they were collaborating with Julie.
It would be hard for it not to be included, I would think. But
anyway, that was just an update on another commission committee since we had time. But now we can go back to the scheduling.
The third Thursday this month, do we want to do third Thursday in February, which would be the 17th?
Let's see. Is that a Parks Commission week or no? I'm trying to a Parks Commission meeting week. No. Okay. So February 17th.
I don't see it on my calendar, but that doesn't, maybe I'm just, oh, well, gosh, it might be. It's not, I haven't updated my calendar yet for January, February. Because I have Forest Lands Commission and usually Forest Lands Commission is the week before. So I think it is Wednesday would be APRC the 15th.
The 16th, right?
Right. Sorry. Yep.
So, I'm fine with meeting the day after commission meeting if you all, Leslie and Jim, can do it.
I can.
Okay.
The 17th is pretty.
I got a meeting tomorrow at 8:30 in the morning, so just go from one meeting to the next.
When you're on Zoom, you can go from one meeting to the next. Okay, so how does everybody else feel about Thursday, February 17th at 4 p.m.?
Works great for me.
Okay, I'll send a email out to the rest of the group and make sure it works for them as well.
And then 4 to 5:30.
4 to 5:30.
Yep.
Okay. So February 17th.
It's possible we could meet in person. You know, we don't know.
So here's what, because actually the Parks Commission is meeting in person in January at the Grove. We can meet in person. You all can make that decision too. In person with masks. All of our public buildings do require masks. Or we can just stay on Zoom for the ease and convenience of that as well. And then, maybe we could do, maybe we could talk about it next month and you could do maybe every other meeting in person and one meeting online. However, I know there's some commissions that are, I think I heard that the airport commission, I was listening to their presentation to city council a few weeks ago, and they're continuing to do their meetings online and then just doing one meeting a year in person. I think they'll probably reevaluate after the mask mandate is lifted. If it ever is lifted, but
It'd be nice to do something in person outdoors.
Yes.
So when it warms up, not in February.
Yes. Absolutely. I agree with that.
So maybe after the February, April.
Yeah. So if it's not raining in April, maybe
we can meet at North Mountain Park outside in that thinger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The thinger, the pavilion.
That's the technical term, thinger, and it pretty much could be anything.
Okay. So anything else? All right. I guess we're super efficient then. We call the meeting?
Adjourning at 5:09.
Fantastic.
Great.
Okay. All right, you guys. Happy holidays. We'll see you in the new year.